I'm a silly man. And God made me goofy. And, I mean, he's got a sense of humor. Look around you if you don't believe me. Look over here at Tater. I love picking on him. He's so good at it. He's so good at taking it. Grew up churchified. Anybody ever grow up in the church? I mean churchified. And until the time my dad died, I was afraid of God. Anybody ever grow up afraid of God? Like God had your picture in a computer monitor and his thumb on the nuke button, you know, waiting for you to do just one more thing wrong. I'm going to blow you out of the water, boy. Right? It's not the way God is. You know, the fear of the Lord, the Bible talks a lot about the fear of the Lord. Not talking about, it's talking about awe, reverence. Fear of the Lord, I wish they'd use another word. Honor is a better word. Reverence. In awe of. You know, if we could see Jesus the way he really is today, we would hit the ground face down like we were dead. We'd be so blown away and so in awe of his presence, of who he is, of his glory. That's the kind. It's not like, oh gosh, I'm afraid he's going to hate me and he's going to hurt me. No. One of the best names in the Bible for God is Abba, which means what? Abba is daddy. It's not father. Hello, father. You know? Our Father which art in heaven, you know, we say that prayer. But Abba is more in the Hebrew like daddy. Like jump up in my lap and tell me how your day went, daddy. You know? Let's go throw the ball, daddy. That's the kind of word, and that's what God wants us to have a relationship with him like a good daddy. Now, a good daddy, is he going to just knock the tar out of you every time you do something wrong? Is he just going to slap you down every time you just mess up? What's he going to do? He's going to love you anyway. He'll tell you you're doing wrong. And you know what? A good daddy, what he does when he wants to communicate with a little boy or a little girl is he gets down here on their level, right? Face to face. Now, what did you understand that if you go out and play in the street, those big trucks that go by, they're going to squash you like a bug. And you're going to be nothing but teeth, hair, and eyeballs, okay? So that's why you can't go out in the street. Now, if you go out there again, I'm going to have to spank you, okay? Okay? Understand? Good. Now, you get back up. That's what God did. When he wrote the Word of God, he wrote it so a seventh grader could understand it, so a third grader could understand the basic principles of salvation. He wrote it so the most learned scholars, C.S. Lewis and all those people, could never delve into the depths of the intricacies of the theology in it, but a little child can understand it. You know what I'm saying? It's alive. It's real. The Word of God is more real than the chair you're sitting in and the ground you're standing on. When all this is gone, the Word of God is still going to be here. Now, the Word of God is what changes your life. And the Word of God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who's that include? Billy Graham? Mother Teresa? Jeffrey Dahmer? Definitely. But no more Jeffrey Dahmer than me. Jeffrey Dahmer's no worse a sinner than I am. How's that possible? He had people over for dinner, literally. You know? Thank you for laughing at that. Appreciate it. How can that be possible? You know that Adolf Hitler is no worse a sinner than I am when he caused and ruled the deaths of 6 million plus Jews and other people just because he didn't like them. He wanted to clean the world of the scum. How can he be no worse than me? Because how many have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Now, the way I look at it is like we're over here and there's this Grand Canyon and then there's the other side, which is holiness and righteousness. Now, has anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon? Anybody ever seen pictures of the Grand Canyon on television? It's a big, big hole in the ground 5 miles across some places. Okay? A mile deep in some places. Anybody able to jump that? Carl Lewis, you know, the greatest broad jumper and the long jumper in the whole world and in the history. He can train all his life and run as fast as a human could ever run and jump as far as a human could ever jump and just spend all his life just training and training and training. And he could try and try and try, and he could get a 100-yard head start and get his the best jump he ever jumped. You know what? Ooh. You know? Then there's Dave Payton, 40 pounds overweight, 41 years old, hasn't done anything aerobic in about, I don't know, 10 years. I get a 30-yard head start. You know what? Carl made it out a little further than I did. He did. But you know what? We're still both stuff on a rock. We're still in the same boat. He made it a little farther than I did, but as far as getting to the other side, no hope. No hope. No chance. That's like depending on your own righteousness, your own goodness, your own religion. I growed up in the church, so a lot of church people in hell. A lot of them. A lot of religious people in hell. In fact, the ones that Jesus yelled at and mocked, I don't know. I was reading Matthew this week, and he got on the Pharisees. He called them names. You snakes, you vipers, you whitewashed tombs, you hypocrites. You're clean and white and pure on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. You are empty and useless. Whoa, these are the religious leaders of the day. No wonder they wanted to kill him. Because they had it going the way they wanted it going. They were the guys that sat in the front and all the banquets, and they got all the honor, and they, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, come help us, you know. And they thought they were all that in a bag of chips. But Jesus saw through their lies and through their religion, and their religion didn't get them an inch closer to heaven. Now, are you religious or are you spiritual? Are you trusting in your own goodness, your own righteousness, your own church attendance to get you to heaven? Or are you trusting in only the price that Jesus paid on the cross? The Bible says, how many have sinned again? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Everybody. Mother Teresa, if she didn't trust Jesus as her Savior, as good and wonderful as she was, spent her whole life helping people, all that stuff she did meant nothing unless she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Now, is that fair? That if she didn't trust Jesus, I believe she did. Or, I mean, you can't live like that unselfishly and love people like that unless you got Jesus in your heart. I don't care what denomination she was. But is that fair if she didn't trust Jesus that somebody that good would be in the same place as Adolf Hitler and Jeffrey Dahmer? And is that fair? Well, I want you to know something. If God was fair, I heard it put this way. A guy named Jerome Olds, he said, if God was fair, we'd all be snapping and popping and crackling right now. We'd all be doing the bacon, you know. You know. And it's kind of funny, but then again, if you think about it, it's not at all. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One sin is all it takes. One act of unholiness. Knowing right and not doing it. Can anybody pass the test of righteousness? No. Because all have sinned. You say you're righteous, you're calling God a liar. And I believe him more than I believe you. And I'm being hard on you. No, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be. But I want you to understand something. Going to church don't make you a Christian anymore, and going in a garage makes you a car. Going into McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. You can go all you want to. It doesn't rub off on you. If your mom and daddy were Christians, that doesn't automatically make you one. Because God doesn't have any grandkids. He's got children. That's all. We have to individually trust him. If all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the wages of sin is what? What does that mean? We're all going to die anyway. Spiritual death, which means what? Hell. Do the algebra. Take out the middle. All have sinned. The wages of sin is hell. We're all going to hell. But wages of sin is death, which means hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Cool. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where do I sign up? When did you receive the gift of God? When you're born? When you're born again. How many of you have been born again? How do you be born again? Nicodemus, Pharisee, snuck in at night, said, Jesus, what do I have to do to get into the kingdom that you're talking about? I want what you've got. I got religion. I want what you've got. I want the real thing. He said, unless the man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, I'm a grown man. How can I be born again? It's physically impossible. Not by the body again, but of the spirit. How do you do it? Accept Jesus. First of all, admit you're a sinner. Do we all admit we're sinners? Admit you need a Savior. You can't do it on your own. Ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior, as your only hope of heaven, and then praise Him for it. Sound easy? It's not. It's not. Because I believe that you're saved by grace through faith, but I also believe that there's a lot of people who fooled themselves into believing that if I just go down there and say a few words, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, go God, and fill out the card and join the church, then I'm in the club. It's not like that. It's a personal me, you, Jesus. You died on the cross for me. It's an intimate thing. It's a personal thing. Have you done that? Really? Are you sure you've done that? Here's a test of whether you've really done it or not. Are you the same as you were when you did it? No? How many of you are a lot different than you were? Why? Because Christ is changing you.